Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to thank you so much for listening to us. This is the brand new Non-Productive Network, and we're in its first show, The Line Cutters.
That is not going to become a thing.
No,
yeah,
probably
we
not.
Can't do that every time.
Yeah.
But, wow, I mean, we're on the internet, guys. We're like New Horizons here.
I just want to thank everybody for waiting the 3 hours to download us. I mean, that it means a lot.
It's very exciting, guys. Non-Productive Network is going to be the best thing ever. We're going to bring you nerd culture and a significantly interesting brand of comedy that you're not going to be able to get anywhere else. So we really thank you for dialing in and listening to this show.
Yes, this is going to be the best thing of 1997.
In a world where every podcaster is lining up behind the velvet rope to be the first to review everything entertainment related, they'll all turn around to find the Line Cutters have already cut ahead.
Oh God.
Why?
Son of a...
Stop.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's dumb.
Idiot.
Let me say that again.
That's not what I meant.
What are you saying?
It hurts.
No. 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 Wrong.
Can everyone shut up?
What?
What? What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
All right. As we mentioned, we are the Line Cutters on the brand new Non-Productive Network. I'm going to be your host, Matt.
I'll be Al.
Hey, Jay.
I'm James. Al, who else would you be? Do you choose to be somebody different every week?
No, I just thought that'd be like, you know, like, I'll be Al. Like,
that's going to be his personality.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, actually, AJ, you seem a bit different. Are you wearing a cap today?
Yeah, you know, I'm feeling it out. I'm not sure.
I don't like it.
Yeah. I don't like it either.
I'll see what I
give it a shot.
No, I think you should wear a monocle. Makes us feel more professional.
Not going to wear a monocle.
Fine, okay.
Anyway.
You call me Lord Fapplebottom?
Guys, we're on the internet. Come on, keep it together. We're a big deal now.
All right, so we have a lot of different topics we want to talk about today on The Line Cutters. Mm. We're going to talk about different movies we're excited about. We're going to talk about a couple of things going on in television. Gaming! And then we're going to finish up with a little bit of a famous people buzz.
All right, but first off, let's take a quick break and listen to the hit 1997 single, Mbop. And we're back.
I will punch you if I hear that again.
Oh, come on.
That song's never going to get old, man. It's awesome. It's a classic. It's
a Hanson modern will classic. Always be here forever. Okay?
Exactly.
Modern classic. Hanson. Greatest band of our generation.
I can't imagine three girls could get this famous so quickly.
Hey now.
That's just rude.
Yeah. All right, so what's the first topic of discussion?
Well, there's a lot going on in the world of movies right now. I don't know about you, but I'm really excited for Batman and Robin.
Ooh.
I gotta agree. I think there's great casting as putting Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. I love the trailer. I think it's really cool.
We've got to go right ahead.
We've got such a high budget cast though. I think they're going to take it too seriously.
Well, I don't think the cast is that high budget. I mean, we got George Clooney. He's coming off of ER. He's like hot stuff right now, but he's not that expensive. Chris O'Donnell's coming back from Batman Forever, which was a solid film, also directed by Schumacher. We have Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's definitely the top billing here for this film, probably followed up by Uma Thurman.
Yeah, honestly, I can't think of a Schwarzenegger film I wasn't in love with.
Yeah, but I can't see George Clooney beating up Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But once he's in the bat suit, then it's okay.
Yeah, he's
because
be Batman,
Batman can beat anybody.
Yeah,
he's got all the gadgets and the cars, and you know, I mean, everything in the everything from the trailers looks great. You've got a very high production budget. You've got a new redesigned Batmobile. Mm. We've got Robin's got a bat cycle. It looks really cool. It's very colorful. You know, it's very It's colorful in like this weird, like all toned down colors way. So a large color palette, but with very deep colors.
A lot of reds and blues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, I think Bane's in this movie.
Yeah, he's on the poster, but I don't see him in the trailer at all.
Don't worry, he's going to get a
one shot. There's one shot of him, and he's like lifting the bat signal like over his head. Like, I mean, I really think they're going to get Bane's strength in this movie.
I mean, I have to say, like, yeah, if they do this right, like Bane could be like the kind of the sleeper like bad guy in this movie, where everyone's going to be like, "Well, hey, I'm going to quote Bane. He's probably going to have some great lines in this movie." I like the ice puns that they got. Like, I mean, there's only two of them. I can't imagine they'd have that many in the film.
Yeah, but they got to keep it simple.
Yeah, but I mean,
at
it's good
for the trailer.
Yeah, again, it's good to have a sense of humor.
The only thing I'm concerned about is their casting of Batgirl. You know, Alicia Silverstone, is it?
I mean, I'm cool with this because like, I think this is going to be her breakout role. Like, she was in Clueless before, I think that's a movie that like kind of brought her in. Like, she starred in it, so this is her. That was her starring role, and I think she's going to break out in this film.
Yeah, nobody but you watched Clueless, Al.
I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was funny.
Well, anyway, speaking of movies that are even more important.
A million times more important.
I mean, who has seen the Star Wars Special Editions?
I have.
Oh, it was so great being the chance to see Star Wars in the theater. I mean, everybody talks about how in 1977 people watched Star Wars, and now 20 years later, we get the chance to watch Star Wars in the theater.
Up on the big screen. How amazing is it? And with scenes that we were never able to see before.
And it's really cool because I get to go with my dad, you know, kind of get to relive that experience with him.
Yeah, I don't know. It's such an experience. You got the surround sound theater and the big screen and everybody's reactions all at the same time. It's as if we were in that theater when it first came out, only with more stuff.
Yep. You know, the only thing I'm kind of concerned about is the whole entire Han and Greedo scene, but I think people get over that real fast.
Yeah.
It didn't look too bad. Listen, I mean, CG in the movie was really good. You know, George Lucas didn't have a lot to work with back when he started these films. Technology has progressed just so much.
And speaking of progression.
Uh-oh.
Big news here. Episode 1 is in production now.
Wow.
We're going to get new Star Wars films.
So it's a prequel?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's going to be take place before. It's the origin of Darth Vader.
Guys, I think we don't really... we have to really comprehend this. I'm sorry. I'm really excited. We have to comprehend this. Like, we have not had a new Star Wars film in, like, 20 years. And then Lucas all of a sudden says, no, we're going to do it.
I mean,
how rare is that?
I mean, he can just print money at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I want to sit for a minute. Let's theorize here.
Okay.
What is episode 1 going to be like? What do we know about Anakin Skywalker? We know that he grew up on Tatooine. We know that he's the father of Luke and Leia.
Yeah, we also know that he trained under Ben Kenobi.
Right. Other than that, we don't really know much. You know, what was, you know, when are we going to pick up with Anakin? As a young man, you know, starting out his training as a Jedi Knight with Obi-Wan?
I kind of imagine it's going to be along the lines of, like, we sort of find him on Tatooine. Like they say, like, it's like, when I met your father, he was a good pilot and all that. So I imagine he's going to be a pilot of some kind or other, kind of like Luke is in New Hope.
So maybe like speeder races,
he's
in like a, you know, I don't know how much. We only explore really the one city on Tatooine. Maybe there are other places on Tatooine that have a little bit upper class area.
There
they have actual like piloting of like air machines and stuff like that.
I don't know about that because from what we understand, like the Hutts kind of control most of that.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. But I mean, like, one thing, but speaking of the Hutts, I'm really looking forward to seeing the new alien races, see what they're going to come up. All of them are going to be really cool, and I really hope one of them actually joins the main cast so we have a little bit more alien representation in the cast.
You know, I agree with that. I mean, I also hope that we don't, like, try to force in, like, old characters. Like, I would really be kind of weird out if, like, all of a sudden, like, C-3PO and R2-D2 kind of, like, show up.
Yeah, just let them. They had their own movies. Yeah,
they had their own movies. We don't really need them here.
And we get to see so much more, too. Like, he's going to be able to do a lot more with CG, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the technology is so much better now.
And we're going to get a whole lot more character development. We're going to be able to see where he came from, you know?
Yeah, it's an origin story.
He just
kind of
starts evil. Yeah. No one starts evil.
You turn evil. You become a bad guy. Like, everyone's the hero of their own story.
Unless
so.
He actually did start evil. He popped out of the room and started torturing animals.
Which I doubt.
But you have one more movie you're really excited about, Al.
I'm really excited about. You have your Batman and Robins and your Star Wars. I have a little bit more of a grittier kind of comic booky film that I really like. And Spawn. I'm just gonna say, like, we were just talking about how, like, you know, all these computer effects and everything like that looks amazing.
And Todd McFarlane's big name now.
Yeah. I mean, like, how? Let's also think about this. Like, this is a new superhero. This isn't like Superman who's been sitting around for, like, you know, forever, and then all of a sudden someone says make a movie. It's like, no, a recent comic book character gets a recent film made about him. I think that says a lot. I think that says the comic books are really coming into their own and being a big part of our medium.
Do you really think Spawn could be, you know, the superhero of the generation?
I think he defines the Generation X that we're a part of. Where we kind of reject everything, because that's what Spawn is about. Like, I mean, he's a dark, gritty hero with, like, you know, guns and knives and, you know, going out there and fighting from hell and stuff. It's you know, there's not a lot of characters like this guy.
Look, it certainly speaks well. I mean, we've got, you know, we've got the fourth Batman film coming out. We've got this new Spawn film coming out.
Yep.
I mean,
John Leguizamo is playing the bad guy in this.
Comics might be the real big source of inspiration for films going forward for quite a long while.
I don't know. I mean, they could be cool. They might. I no doubt they're going to be great movies, but I can't imagine comic book movies ever being a big thing.
I think they are a big thing right now. I mean, well, listen, how many Batman? We're on our fourth Batman movie. I think they're just going to keep pumping these out one after the other. We're going to continue this story. I think that, like, you know, I don't know if George Clooney is going to stick around for another film, but we'll see who comes in after that. I kind of miss Val Kilmer, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know why they, you know, replaced Batman, kept Robin, but, you know, whatever. It's, I mean, again, I don't know Hollywood. Hollywood, I'm sure, but they're smart people. That's how they got to where they are.
Yeah,
they're
must be doing something right.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that was a very enlightening conversation. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. Stay tuned. All right, we're back. We just talked about some movies, so what's our next topic?
Next, we're going to talk quickly about television.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys are watching on TV right now, but there's a couple of new things coming out on the radar. Cartoon Network has a new afternoon block that they want to use to tackle the Disney afternoon called Toonami.
Toonami?
I don't know about you guys. Not super interested.
I don't know.
It's kind of hokey.
Toonami. I think it has like some cartoons from Japan or something on it. I mean, I don't have time to learn another language, Cartoon Network, so I don't know what.
Oh, are they going to be subbed or are they going to try to get like people translated?
Does this mean I'm going to have to read my cartoons on TV?
That sounds like an awful experience. But you know what's not an awful experience?
What?
Darkwing Duck and Gargoyles.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Disney Afternoon? That's the king.
That's never going to take away the. You will never take away that after school kind of feeling of throwing the book bags down, even in high school. Like, you can't really just – that's what we're doing. We sit down there and we want to watch some of our pop cartoons, then we'll head off and we'll do other things.
And these are – you know, what's great about these two cartoons specifically is they're doing something that Disney's movies really haven't even done in a while. You know, with Gargoyles, we have a cartoon that's, like, really 100% serious, you know, as compared to all the other cartoons in the Disney afternoon.
In my opinion, this is Disney's answer to the Batman animated series. This is really them saying, like, hey, we can do this too. Don't count us out of the
doing
game.
Doing it well too.
Yeah, I agree. And half of the and oddly enough, like Gargoyles has had like what, like half the cast of Star Trek: The Next Generation in it.
Yeah, oh, it's a great voice cast. It's a great voice cast. And like I said, it's dark, it's gritty, it's got mature plot lines. You know, it feels real,
I'm sorry, Cartoon Network, but your Hanna-Barbera crap and your cartoons from Japan are not going to have the maturity of these Disney cartoons.
Darkwing Duck's another interesting case because, you know, we get a lot of funny cartoons, but we don't really get, you know, and obviously we got plenty of things doing the superhero thing now, as we were talking about. Superheroes,
Batman, all that stuff, yeah.
Superheroes are very popular, but, you know, Darkwing, his motivations are very different from all of our other cartoon characters. He's a very selfish character. He kind of does it. He's like, oh, I guess I'll save the day again. What would anyone do without me? He's like a bit of a selfish jerk, and that's fun to watch, you know? And it's neat to see his kind of progression in his relationship with Goslin throughout the series.
Yeah.
So,
and it's more Launchpad McQuack, because, you know, he's the most awesome character that Disney ever created.
That's true. Miss you, DuckTales.
Yeah. That's a part of our childhood I don't think we're ever going to get back, guys.
Well, who knows? Hey, it looks like they're not going to stop anytime soon, so... hopefully always be a part of us.
Yeah, we'll always have Disney Afternoon. Mm. I think
Disney Afternoon.
So watch out, Cartoon Network.
We've got a couple more things in television. We got a new genre show coming out, actually based off a movie from a couple of years back, Buffy.
I vaguely remember this film. Right. I mean, like,
it had what
it was
his,
high
what's
schoolers
his name?
And vampires.
Well, it was basically about this girl who discovered she was like this vampire hunter, right? Like this, like she's the
With
blood
Donald
of like
Sutherland
a vampire hunter.
I remember now, yeah.
It was she was played by Kirsty Swanson,
right?
And Donald Sutherland was like her mentor character.
Yeah,
but so
are they back in this show?
No, apparently they're trying to like, I guess reboot the continuity or kind of pick up where the movie left off. You know, but Donald Sutherland won't be returning. You know, he's got bigger things
to
do.
Yeah, it's hard to get a movie actor to kind of go in for a TV show. But I mean, I have to say, that's a shame because, like, Donald Sutherland was really the only good thing in that movie.
Yeah, yeah. And then Kirsty Swanson, she's, I don't know where she is right now.
I don't know. But I
not
have
doing
to,
anything particularly interesting.
I can't imagine. But I mean, honestly, like, I don't know where you're going to go with this. I mean, you have, like, I mean, not that most shows when they start have a big name cast. I'm just saying. You have a concept in a movie that you're basing all this on that wasn't very good. You took the one good thing about it and kind of like took it away. Like, I mean,
and then on top of that, they're keeping the same person who did the movie, not the director, but the person who wrote the movie, which again, as we mentioned, the
really
movie was not very good.
No, it was very cheesy. It's
like
kind of
Joe Whedon, I think his name was.
Yeah, Joe Whedon. That was
Joe,
it.
And
wow.
He
sounds like nobody.
He, you know, they're keeping him on to do the show. So, I don't know. I don't have high hopes.
I don't think this is going to go anywhere. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, what was the last kind of supernatural thing we had? It was like Teen Wolf or whatever it was.
Was Michael J. Fox movies?
Well, no.
That was like before we
not
were born.
Teen Wolf. I'm trying to think of the, whatever. It was there was some kind of movie about werewolves. Not movie. There was some TV show about werewolves. I can't remember the name of it right now. Basketball playing. It wasn't Teen Wolf. It was something else. Anyway. But yeah, I mean, I don't see this supernatural thing like vampires and whatnot. Like,
there's no audience for that kind of
there
stuff.
There really isn't. I mean, and like you can't do horror has never been done well on TV. I mean,
not to mention
like the Twilight Zone.
And it's not just that. It's just there's not television doesn't have a large budget.
Yeah.
It's hard to do a lot of makeup and CG and effects and stuff.
And we don't have
on television.
I mean, what are you gonna? You can't CG that much. I mean, again, it's. Computer graphics cost a lot of money. I mean, it's not like people are doing this in their basements and, like, throwing it out every week. It's just not a thing that's happening.
Yeah, you need the budget. You need the software. Ugh.
You know, I mean, it'd be nice if you could. But, like, what are we going to, like, put a shark mask on somebody and say, oh, he's a shark-headed guy. Oh, no. We have to fight him with our kung fu kicks. Whatever. It's not.
Right.
I don't believe in it.
Well, I mean, I guess for me personally, television, I love the World Wrestling Federation. And, like, it's WWF and WCW going head-to-head on Monday nights.
Yep.
Monday nights is the greatest. I'll watch one show, record the other, and, you know, switch it up each week.
Yep.
What do you – you got one of those recordable VHS players?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Those things are sweet.
Up. Yep.
Man, I record – because sometimes, you know, I don't get home on time. I record the afternoon shows. Mm. You know, and then I get to keep them. You know, I keep
sometimes I can't stay up late
on the shelf.
Sometimes I can't stay up late at night. You know, the good stuff only comes on late at night.
Yeah,
as far
especially like you know WWF. There's this new guy named Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, he's like not like Hulk Hogan or anything. He like says the F word. He flips fingers. He drinks beer in the ring. He beats up like the owner and stuff. I mean, he's like this really badass guy.
Yeah, beat up my boss. That's exactly what I want to do.
No, but like,
living the dream,
cheering,
man.
Everybody's cheering him and stuff. I mean, screw Hulk Hogan. He's like yesterday's news. This guy's the future.
And you know, his
but Hulkamania, brother.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's not. I mean, Hulk's probably his knees are probably like shattered glass at this point. He's not coming back.
Yeah, he's gonna retire and.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
He's married.
No, I'm going to miss the Hulk.
Yeah, I mean, the Hulkster was cool, but like, what are they going to do? Bring him back? Have him, like, you know, start hanging out Hulkamania rings and, like, building a Hulk Lantern Corps? I mean, that's just not going to happen.
That's weird.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, who would do that idea?
All right, so that's an awesome television talk. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Yep.
Okay, and we're back.
I hate that song.
Oh, come on.
Come on, AJ.
It's going to grow on you. We promise, AJ.
Yep.
It's going to grow on you.
All right, so talked about movies. We talked about television. I think it's time to talk about video games.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this has been a great year for video games. We had the Nintendo 64 come out this year.
Oh, man. So cool. It's actually Nintendo 64, little known fact. It's my first video game console. Don't get mad at me, guys.
Wow, how did you play, like, you know, regular Nintendo and Super Nintendo?
I didn't. Well, that's not true. I go to a friend's house. They had them, but my parents were never keen on the console. But this year, this
sheltered
is my
life,
first
I get
console.
It, man. It happens, you know?
I'm excited, though. I'm really excited. I bought a whole bunch of new games, and I picked up the PlayStation 1 as well, coming out. It's exciting.
Like, you got that Sony thing?
Yeah, it's disc-based media, which, we got CDs. CDs are pretty cool.
It's not as powerful as the N64.
I don't trust CDs for my games. I feel like they're going to get scratched. They're going to get damaged. I can't see the future of gaming being in
and having and it's another thing that's really weird about it is that I have to store the data for the game, like the save games,
yeah.
They don't store right on the game. I have to have a separate card.
Oh, that
for
like
it.
A pain in the
that
so
does
it's
sound
another,
like
it's like another piece to lose.
See, the thing about that, like that seems like such a money grab to me. Like, wouldn't you just build something into the system itself
yeah.
in order to
yeah,
just
like,
have the memory there?
If I go over to my friend's house, I can just bring the cartridge and plug it in, and then we can play the game.
Now
everything's
you have to bring,
right there. I don't
now
want
you have
it.
To bring the cartridge and your memory card, possibly a second controller.
Oh, come
and
on,
it's only
man.
Two controllers for the PS1,
oh, yeah.
I suppose,
right.
Four for the N64.
Compared to the four
yeah,
for the
I mean,
N64.
Again, it's a weird trade-off as far as these two systems are concerned. Because the PS1 is a 32-bit system compared to the 64-bit of the N64.
Oh, so it's not even as powerful.
But there's a difference. We can put a lot more on those discs than we can put on the cartridge.
The loading times.
That's another one. The loading times on the PS1, they're terrible. There's no loading on an N64.
Yeah.
I mean, loading is something that I've never had to deal with before. But if I want to watch a cutscene, if I want to watch like a lot of the really cool like music and cinematics and stuff that the PS1 has over the N64,
you know, that is cool. You can actually see video and movies
yeah,
playing
that is
in
really
your video game.
Neat.
No, it's really it's true. But,
it's really
but,
neat.
I mean, it depends. Like, I mean, in a weird way, it looks and it appears to be more powerful than the N64, but it's not. So it's strange. I think this is a big competition. Which is great to me. I'm a little upset that Sega has kind of fallen a bit to the wayside with their Saturn. But I like the idea that we still have two mythic giants duking it out.
Yeah.
Like that day will never end.
It's a mythic giant, but this is Sony's first foray into home console business.
Still, Sony's been around for a while in business.
And they have the money. I mean, if a company has money, then anybody can throw out a console.
I mean, technically that's true. But, I mean, it is true. I mean, for all we know, like, you know, AOL could be, you know, all working on their big new game console to come out. We don't know.
Yeah,
I don't trust that. The internet... gaming on the internet with a console?
No. Here's a crazy thought. A Microsoft Windows console.
Why would they make a game console?
I know.
No, I mean, they have a PC, and you play games on your PC.
I understand that.
Why would you make a console if you're competing with yourself?
Windows DOS the console?
I'm just making a joke, guys. It's not going to happen.
Windows DOS the console, exactly.
But you know what?
We'll wait for it. It'll
let's
happen.
Let's talk about some games that have come out.
Yeah, this is a great time for some comparison, actually.
Oh, Matt, okay. What games have you picked up recently
right,
that you're excited
one
about?
One game that I've been really excited about is GoldenEye.
Really?
Based on the James Bond movie.
I've been really cautious about this because I can't see a first-person shooter working on a console.
I mean, it's kind of weird. I mean, like, it's cool. You have the joystick. You can move your character around, but you have to like use like the yellow
how do you
C
use
buttons.
That joystick
I
can't
it,
get
you gotta
it.
Hold it in the middle
I can't get it
no it works pretty well actually because it recenters like which for a lot of a
does
lot,
it mine always sticks
Oh, then you have a broken one.
Man, you need a new one.
Yeah.
That's probably just yours. Don't worry about it.
My thing about this is it's not, you know, like, unlike a shooter that I'd go play at an arcade, this one's not on rails. Like,
No.
I can free move through a free environment.
Yes, James. For those of us that have not been you know obscured and left in the glorious PC gaming race that we are.
My parents don't let me play your video games much.
We've been used to mouse and keyboard.
Yes, yeah, so,
and we can since Doom 2, Quake, so on and so forth. This is different because, again, it's on a console. We don't have the advantages of, like, me taking my mouse and pointing it somewhere. Yeah. So I don't know how this would work. I mean, besides the joystick, but at that point, what do you use for movement?
I mean, it's tough. Sometimes you gotta, like, you can only stand still. But there's also, you know, auto-aim and, like, auto-adjust for you. But, like, the highlight of this thing is really the multiplayer. I mean, I had three other guys over. We were, like, four players, split screen. All four people on the same screen playing. We're just shooting each other, running around the stages. Oh, it was a lot of fun. There's like a whole bunch of different weapons. And the really cool thing is people are finding like secret stuff. So like currently, I think like at the first level, if you like run out this certain area and just keep on running, you find the secret island. Then you can find like, you know, I think like Jaws or like Baron Sandy and stuff.
That's actually really cool. Yeah, so, I really like that.
Oh, man. I mean, from the company that made Donkey Kong Country, I mean, this is great.
Rare, I honestly got like almost anything they touch usually turns to gold.
I mean, they're gonna nothing can go wrong with
it. Yeah, I mean, and again, I have to say, like, it's gotten so popular. I mean, in a weird way, GoldenEye's really brought gaming into the forefront where it's not just the kids' hobbies or the weird dudes like me playing on our computers. It's pretty much now like, no, we are gonna get our buddies together, go play some GoldenEye, and we're gonna get on this stuff. I'm hoping, I don't know if this is going to happen, but I'm hoping that the first-person shooter on console thing makes gaming, you know, more accessible. Like, now all of a sudden, this is going to become the college thing. It's not...
Like the football players are going to start playing video games?
It could happen. We don't know.
I certainly think that this genre, this, you know, like first-person shooting thing, I think we're going to see more of it. GoldenEye's got a lot of buzz, a lot of hype.
Open the floodgates.
I think we're going to see a lot more of them.
I mean, also, speaking of first-person shooters, and speaking of PC games, another game I picked up is Dark Forces 2.
And I have to say, I was a big fan of Dark Forces 1.
Oh, Dark Forces, the crazy thing about this, you got to wait for this, guys. You get a lightsaber in this game.
Oh, no!
What? Yeah. your character, Kyle, he becomes a lightsaber. He gets, like, Jedi powers and stuff.
How is that even possible?
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, he wasn't a Jedi in the first one.
No, but, like, apparently he's, like, Force-sensitive and stuff. I mean, it's crazy. Like, they have, like, live-action cutscenes. They have, like, actors and special effects.
Okay, I just want to say, we have not had any filming of lightsaber combat, period, since the trilogy, since Return of the Jedi. It hasn't happened. And, like, so we are getting to watch these actors play with lightsabers for the first time in, like, forever.
I know.
And it's a...
the game's
It's going to be awesome.
And these cutting-edge graphics with, like, realistic-looking faces and sound effects and stuff. I mean,
I loved Dark Forces, and here, like, I can actually carry around a lightsaber, go around, get into sword fights and stuff.
Yeah, you play with, like, I think, like eight, like, play eight people online. If you go, like, the Microsoft Gaming Zone.
That is so cool! I'm sorry, that's so cool!
Get the Gaming Zone, connection, I mean... Got to make sure that no one's using the phone and everything. Got to hook up.
Yeah. I mean, but I can imagine that being a bit of. I mean, that's the only problem I find with online gaming as of right now is like it depends on me not having my phone active.
Yeah,
and the props.
No one's gonna. You don't want to talk to anybody when you're playing though.
No,
yeah,
but
then like my mom gets a fax.
Yeah, it's the truth. I mean, it's like I hate to say it, but like you know, our parents actually do have to take phone calls. It's not. Unfortunately, we haven't reached the days where everyone has a cell phone. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to happen. But, oh, that brick,
I think Vin's got one in his suitcase.
Probably weighs him down. Oh, but, you know, I mean, playing online, I mean, and yeah, I mean, sometimes there's a little bit of delay, but you get used to it. Yeah. So yeah, definitely check that right. game out.
You know, one thing coming out later this year, you guys like the first person shooting three dimensional map thing? Quake 2. Quake 2 with the new Quake 2 engine. It's gonna blow you away, man. It is so detailed.
Speaking of multiplayer,
you think GoldenEye is detailed? You should see this.
Again, that's the
problem. And on top of that, even more exciting, based on the Quake 2 engine, they're just starting work on Duke Nukem Forever.
Oh my god!
It's supposed to come out next year at the latest, at the end of 98.
I'm pre-ordering right now.
Yeah.
Pre-ordering right now.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, guys.
Get on it, because they're going to run out.
I mean, yeah, come on. Duke Nukem was so awesome, like, and it was so over the top. I mean, I'm looking forward to Duke Nukem Forever like nobody's business, and... I mean,
the trailer. They're on top of a truck. They're shooting at aliens. This game can do no wrong.
No, it really can. I mean,
especially with the brand new Quake 2 engine. I mean, it's going to be unstoppable. Go back to your PC. Forget your N64. Go back in the PC, because that's where gaming is. I'll tell
AJ,
you right
we're living the fantasy, man. That's just not going to happen. I mean, I wish that people would just start going on their computers, start playing games, never leave it. I would love for there to be a game that could come out and make, like, I don't know, 6-7 million people strong online at once. But it's a pipe dream.
There are barely that many people on the internet.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think the phone company could handle that.
Yeah.
So, as you guys know, I got two new consoles.
Okay.
With those new consoles, I got two new games.
All right.
First, we'll go with Nintendo.
Okay.
For Nintendo, I got Star Fox 64.
Ooh.
Now, this is an update of actually a game for the Super Nintendo.
Yes. Yep.
And if you remember the game for the Super Nintendo, it's a lot of fun. This game blows it out of the water. This game is amazing. It's kind of like an on-rails, you know, like fighter.
Yeah.
Star Fox. Like the original Star Fox, just like that. But it's incredibly detailed. You know, it's got voice acting all the way through.
Wow.
There are tons of different options. So what's really cool is you fly through the star system to get to the end.
Mm.
But based on what you do, how many, you know, rings you go through, how many hoops you fly through, whatever you do, you can open up and change different paths. And then the story changes based on how you go through the game, including two different final bosses. It's really cool. There are a lot of different characters in the game. There's Slippy, there's Peppy, Toad, Falco. There's Star Wolf. He's like your villainous character.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun.
I mean, honestly, not that I don't like it. Just where was Star Fox 2? I mean,
I remember
we saw it in Nintendo Power.
I saw it at Toys R Us. There was a video of it and all.
Yeah, I mean, I was really looking forward to it. And then, like, I mean,
I don't know, guys. Not
that I'm saying anything bad
about
this.
Way cool.
I'm just saying, like, I wait for the sequel for a while. All these advertisements and cool characters. And then, well, we got a remake for you. I mean, it looks fantastic. I have to say.
It's not even just a remake, though. It goes beyond that.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much new stuff in here that wasn't in the original Star Fox.
I get it.
Now, there is something that comes with this game that's new, and it's a bit controversial.
Okay.
Star Fox 64 is packaged with the Rumble Pack.
Which, I'm going to be honest... I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, how many boys are putting this on their crotch while they're playing the game?
Why are you thinking about this?
Why do you have to take it there?
Because I'm looking, like, that's what it looks like. It looks like a vibrator, man. That's
what
it looks like.
How do you know what a vibrator looks like?
Because we have the internet. I mean, it takes me an hour to look at pictures, but
I don't know about you.
I'm going to jerk off.
I don't know about you. This is my first console. I'm still net nanny blocked.
So... My N64 is in my living room.
So let me tell you about this Rumble Pack. I don't like it. It's annoying. It's
noisy.
Distracting. It's noisy. You know, every time something happens to you in the game, it's cool because you can feel it. But it's like whoa, I don't know about that. You know, like
I mean, you're flying a spaceship. You're getting shot. You're hitting turbulence. It's got to be kind of cool.
It's like I said, it's distracting. It makes it more difficult to play. It's, you know, it's weird. It doesn't feel right, you know?
And then you can just pull it out, right? It clips onto the front.
Thankfully, yeah, you can just remove it, and I'm putting this one back on the shelf. I don't think Nintendo's starting anything here with the Rumble Pack, unfortunately.
I think it'd be kind of cool. I mean, make it work if, you know, they built it, you know, inside the controller, so it's not
Well, then you
can
turn
bulky,
it off. How would you turn it off?
Well, I mean, maybe make an option for it in the game. It's like, turn the Rumble Pack
like
off.
Like, put a button on the controller?
I guess, or maybe with an option within the game.
I guess so.
I mean, it sounds like a neat idea, and let me, like...
It's
oh, games are so realistic now, but I guess they need to make it even more realistic.
I don't know. I'd like... Don't mess with my controllers. You know, the Nintendo 64 controller is so great. You put this thing on, it makes it heavy on the front.
I'll debate you up and down on that one.
It doesn't work.
I mean, the N64 well, controller has advantages, but you want to talk if you and I want to play Mortal Kombat, are you going to come at me with your N64 controller or are you going to use the PS1?
My parents don't let me play Mortal Kombat. That's right.
Matt, if you and I were to play Mortal Kombat together, are you going to come at me with your N64 controller? Or are you going to play on my PlayStation controller?
I mean, really, for Mortal Kombat, we got to go to the arcade, man. That's what they're there for, Mortal Kombat and stuff.
The arcades are dying.
They're dying.
I'm
die.
Sorry. All right, fine.
Don't even start that argument.
All right, guys. Come on.
All right. But
what was your other game, James?
My other game is Mega Man Legends. Now this is a 3D adventure game starring Mega Man. No, I don't. Hear me out. This game,
I'm hearing you,
looks amazing.
Not doubting this at all.
Go on.
And it's completely voice acted all the way through.
Right.
Which is another cool thing that's new with games right now. And it's so immersive. There are hundreds of like dungeons to explore, and there's this kind of like immersive feeling to the world. It opens up. Mega Man's like this treasure hunter. So it's like Mega Man meets Indiana Jones. He's like this treasure hunter, and him and Roll, his adopted sister in the film, work for their grandfather, who's like this old-time explorer.
Uh-huh.
And the world that they live in is completely flooded in water. So it's kind of like... It's like it's the Mega Man world of before, like Mega Man, like, you know, like in the side-scrolling games for Nintendo and everything, but if only the tops of all the towers and stuff we climbed to existed, and then all of a sudden that, like, grass grew on them and they became islands, and then you would go inside to the old buildings of Mega Man, where all the old robots and you guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. This game is awesome.
It seems interesting. I'm interested.
It sounds interesting, but the problem I find with it is, like, I mean, and I was a Mega Man kid all the way growing up, and I put up with X. I can't say I dislike the Mega Man X games. They're not bad. They're not exactly what I was looking for, and you can tell me up and down they're structurally better and all these other things, and I'm sure Mega Man Legends is fine too. But I want to go out and fight 8 Master Robots and, you know, save the world, and that's my Mega Man. Now, I'm perfectly fine with a Mega Man being 3D, but I wanted Mega Man to be able to go out there in 3D and fight 8 Master Robots and kick some serious booty.
But the story in this game is so good. It's so much deeper. There's by the ending of the game... Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but by the ending of the game, the impact your characters have and the way the story unfolds is so much bigger. Like it's so much more than just, well, I'm Dr. Light, Mega Man. You have a mission. You need to kill the 8 robots and then defeat the big, big robot, and we'll all be happy and Wily will go away. And I love Mega Man games. I do. But this... They're trying something different here with Mega Man, and I promise you guys, it works. I think we're going to see... I think this is going to be the start of a trilogy.
All right.
I mean,
trilogies are hard to come by nowadays.
I think this is going to be the start of the next great trilogy.
Not since, like, Star Wars have we seen that. Come on. I mean, I don't even think there's a trilogy again. Trilogy of games right now. So it's like, what? Like Mario?
Well, no. Mario's a series. I'm talking about, like, a... Doesn't matter.
I'm
start
sure
of a trilogy.
Quake 3.
Yeah, I guess so. That's true. All right, but we're talking about like games that have had a series, and
you know, actually, there's a new game coming out later on this year. You're not going to be able to play it, James. Your mom's not going to let you. Grand Theft Auto.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
You get to steal cars.
That's fine. Like, I don't want to play your guys' games anyway.
I think you run around in cars and you blow stuff up, and it's like it's on a top down perspective. It looks pretty fun.
Yeah, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
You could even obey the laws, but those, that's not fun.
That's not fun. Yeah. But speaking of game series, though, for the PlayStation, I got two games that I really wanted to talk about, and I really like them. And they're both from two big franchises. One of them being Final Fantasy.
Wait, isn't that like a Nintendo series?
It was. However, unfortunately, Square kind of jumped ship because there was a bit of a discrepancy with Nintendo as far as their ideas being not able to fit on a cartridge, for lack of a better term. So they split their partnership with Nintendo and went with SquareSoft.
Oh, snap!
Yeah, really. It's a shame to say, but like, it's like, I mean, I've seen some of the production work they were doing for the N64, and honestly, it would have been par for the course. But what they've done with Final Fantasy VII, like, and I have to ask, what happened to Final Fantasy IV, V, and VI? Because we had Final Fantasy I for the Nintendo, we had Final Fantasy II for the Super Nintendo, then we had Final Fantasy III for the Super Nintendo, and now we have Final Fantasy VII. I mean, I think we're missing something.
They must have just not come over. Nintendo must have just not translated them for some reason.
I mean,
probably weren't any good.
Probably.
I mean, that's generally why Nintendo doesn't bring stuff over.
Yeah. So 4, 5, and 6, we don't have.
I'm glad they can make the decisions for us. That's funny, right?
Yeah, but it's from playing from a series of games that was really about high fantasy and high adventure and all this stuff and the vagueness of technology, especially in Final Fantasy III. This is a vast departure.
What do you mean?
It takes place in kind of a not so dystopian future, where everything's sort of run by a company called Shinra.
That's a really dumb name.
well, it's named after one of the characters. So. He has character. A dumb name then.
Yeah.
But it's a game with a very involving story. Which I expected from Squaresoft, but not to this extent. It's a much darker one about sort of a loss and rebirth. And the main villain's just, I mean, he's a very troubled character, it's such a badass in a very weird way. Main character, I'm not too fond of him. He's kind of a jerk, but it's this weird sort of development where he slowly but surely kind of grows out of it and he jumps into the hero's role.
That'd be kind of neat, though.
Yeah, I agree. But like, I mean, it's got such a I can't spoil much because the story's so involving and so long, involving so many different characters
this,
who eventually
this game,
encounter over the way.
This game, I was looking at it. It's got like four discs or something, right?
Yeah,
like,
and
it's a huge CD case.
And you can see why it wouldn't be able to work on a cartridge. They would not have the room to tell this story.
I guess.
And the cutscenes are incredible.
I certainly can't imagine buying a box with four cartridges in it.
Exactly. It would be too expensive. But like, all these cutscenes are fantastic. And the graphics, I mean, they're amazing just to see these characters emote. And the music, oh my, the CD quality that you get from this. I mean, you can't do this on Nintendo. I mean, honestly, like, I saw an advertisement for this game saying, get the guys that make, you know, cartridges a shotgun. Like, I'm like,
what?
Like, I mean, like, that's really what it was.
For
like,
suicide?
Is
that what you're saying?
They're basically saying, like, get the guys that make cartridges a gun. And, like they're done. I'm like, whoa. Some big
I remember seeing actually an advertisement for this like in the movie theaters. I mean, they're really making this into a big thing.
It's so worth it, though. I mean, again, there's such a variety of characters. The villain is fantastic. The story is epic in scope. The battle system is incredible. It's got this materia system where you more or less you have like these little orbs that you would put with your weapons or your armor. And, like, well, yes, you can upgrade your armor and weapons eventually, but the materia is what really actually levels up with you. And the stronger the materia becomes, you can it'll work with your weapons, your armor. And you can switch
so
it
you
amongst
can
your party members.
Customize your weapons?
Yeah, it's such a good game. I mean, I can't gush over this thing enough. I mean,
I'll try it. I guess I'll give it a shot.
I can't
imagine it being a big thing, though.
If you have a PlayStation, you have to have this game. I mean, honestly, like, there's no reason you shouldn't.
I guess. What's this called? Fantasy Finally?
Final Fantasy VII.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah. If I borrow, I guess maybe I'll borrow Vin's PlayStation or something. Maybe I'll play one of these games one day.
I agree.
Well, while you're over Vin's, you can talk on the cell phone.
The other game that I have is from another series that's been ongoing for a while, is Castlevania. Castlevania, for a while, has been this like side scroller kind of tough as balls game, and they went thankfully with a breath of fresh air in a very different direction with this. Like, it's still a side scroller, but it's much more of a Metroid esque kind of exploration, and it's kept on in 2D. And I gotta say, like, if you keep it simple, you can refine what little you have to a mirror shine.
So I guess you might call this a Metroidvania. Oh, I'm copywriting that.
Or a Castleoid or whatever you want to call it. Whatever. But it's that name's not going to stick. But
absolutely not.
No, but it's fantastic, this idea that I'm playing not as a Belmont this time, but as Alucard, the son of Dracula. And I get to explore Dracula's castle.
What's the name of like, Alucard?
It's Dracula spelled backwards.
You're right. Holy crap.
Sorry. I just mind blown over there, huh, man?
Whoa. Huh.
That's why would you do that?
Because it actually kind of works in a weird way. It still sounds like a name.
It kind of works, except it's a name spelled backwards. But did Dracula have a dyslexic son?
No. He just had a son. He said he was arrogant enough to name him his name backwards. Like, what? Listen, it'd be too confusing if you just said, I will name my son Dracula. So there would be Dracula and Dracula.
No. I'm going to write my own name backwards and name my child that.
Yeah. It works. It works.
It's not like he could do it in a mirror.
Oh, yeah, true. But it works. It's such a great game. Again, if you have a PlayStation, you have to own these games. It's so great in the fact that, like, you collect all these different weapons and all these different familiars and spells and abilities, and the bosses are huge and just freaking awesome. And to have a side scroller with this deep a freaking story and so much exploration and things you can find and a going into this guy who's, I love the shopkeep. He's freaking awesome. I don't know. I have to say, this is a brand new era of video games. It's scary moving forward. What could happen?
That's what you said when we played Mario 64.
It's true. It's still true. It's still true now. The 3D realm has been burst. The only realm left is the fourth dimension. One day we will play games with our bodies. I am declaring this now.
All right, I think he's gone crazy.
Yeah, you've gone pretty nuts.
We have a little bit more of Oombop lined up, don't we?
Visor that really didn't take off at all.
I mean,
the R zone.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is when you do track and field with that mat, but I can't imagine anything more than that. Anyway, right. James.
No, I think.
Oh, we need to take a break.
We need to take a break.
Yes. Actually,
oh my God!
Take one more break, and then we'll wrap things up. Hang on tight. We'll be right back. Okay, and we're back. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've been having a great show now for the premiere of the Non-Productive Network. We have the Line Cutters, the first show on this brand new frontier.
In 1997.
Yep, we have a little bit more to talk about before we head off into that good dark internet night. We have a list of celebrity bursts going on right here.
Oh, cool.
There's something on our list that I think very highly of. It was Rebecca Black was born this year.
Okay. Yeah, I expect big things from her.
Big things. Excellent.
I think she's got a huge career ahead of her. I mean, it's
no pressure.
Yeah, no pressure, kid. You got this, though. I believe in you.
Yeah, but I feel like, yeah, she's
got a bright future ahead of her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, I think that her singles are going to top the charts. Mm. Top all the charts.
All right. Well, that's everything I have. Anything from you guys?
You know what? No.
Not really. I mean, we've had such a jam-packed episode. I mean, like, where do we really go from here?
I mean, honestly, man, I think this is as good as it's ever going to get. I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, I'm honestly kind of looking forward to the new Zelda game. It's going to be coming out next year, kind of, sort of. But, I mean, you know, nothing's going to stop. I mean, nothing's going to top the Super Nintendo games. And as much as I like the Mario 3D games, I'm just saying I don't think that's going to work well with Zelda. And I think that I'm scared it's going to fall flat on its face.
Yeah, I don't want to think about the disaster that the new Zelda 64 game could be.
I mean,
yeah.
Speaking of, like, unsure about gaming, I mean, we talked about... You mentioned something about maybe someday, like, 6 million people online at the same time. Maybe it's not that level, but I think it's going to be as close as we're going to get. This game called Ultima Online.
Yeah, I heard about that. Like, you apparently play through an RPG with a bunch of other people at once.
Yeah, and, like, they can do whatever you want. Like, you could, like, steal a guy's, like, cow, or, like, take over his house and, like, kill him.
Wow, that's dark.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. I don't know if I want to play that.
I mean,
I don't want my cow stolen. I like my cow.
It's kind of weird, very niche type of gaming.
Yeah, I can't imagine this is catching on too much.
I don't know.
All right, well, I don't know about you guys, but I think that is all the time we have for today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're going to play out with some of your favorite music. And we hope to catch you guys next week, as long as you got the time to log on and give us a download.
Oh, yes. Thank you for tuning in to The Line Cutters. I'm your host, Matt.
I'm Al.
I'm it. Cappy. I'm Cappy.
I like it.
I don't know how I feel about it. And I'm James. And remember, never forget, non-productive.